Good morning, Gene Kies, Schoolcraft College Advanced Manufacturing Teacher. Welcome to the show, Gene.
Thank you very much, Tom. Glad to be with you.
All right. I want to start off, let's talk about Schoolcraft College itself.
I've been with the college 22 years, so we've always had it. I was part-time up until 2012. We've always had some kind of manufacturing. But the last 2 years, the school built, well, the building was existing, but we totally gutted it and totally redid it for our occupational program. So we're all in one building now. We doubled all our lab sizes. So we made it, plus we're in the heart of the industrial side of town. So we're closer to the business owners that we work with.
Is that increase? Is there a demand? Are all the classes full?
No, the classes aren't totally full. Not as much as I would like. I'd like to always add more classes. We're back up to the levels that we were before COVID. Okay. Back in 2012, I had 54 students all year, and I worked it up to over 300 students a year pre-COVID. And
wow.
Then COVID, it really dropped off again, and we're slowly coming back up. So it's okay. Improving. Things are good in that way.
Yeah, know. Good. And you work with local businesses. They're coming to you saying, I need people, right?
Constantly. We have at least one or two businesses come through our building. They're all impressed with our labs and the layout of the building and all that, but they all want the same thing. They want our students.
Right, okay.
And there's a disconnect somewhere between, first of all, most of my students are already working. The advanced students, almost all of them are working in the trade somewhere. The new students coming in, we could get them jobs, but they prefer jobs at McDonald's because they're more flexible on their times. They go, hey, we can get a day off to study for our test. So they don't want to make that. And some people, some students, they don't want to look for a job until they either have their certificate or their degree. Students lack confidence today really bad. And I mean, it was bad before COVID, but COVID just made it 10 times worse. I mean, I could send them to businesses and it's hey, just go there and talk to the owner, look at the shop, see if you fit. Well, I don't have my resume. Go without a resume.
Okay, right.
And I can't get them to do that.
Really?
I have three or four students I'm working with right now. They won't pick up the phone and they won't stop by.
Wow. Well, it's interesting because I come to some of the sessions that Schoolcraft College has, and the city of Livonia does great to get people together. The last one had Alpha Company, Magna, and General Motors talking about their need. Is there a structure that, for instance, Alpha has that they have to be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning? And
some companies, not them so much, because I know they lent their employees off for school. They're
okay.
Really pro education. They always have been. They're
okay.
A real good company to work with. Donates a lot of money and time. The money's simple. The time is more, and they don't donate a lot of time towards helping us and being our partner. It's just funny that the need's out there. But I mean, I had a dean 20 years ago tell me there's going to be less students available. That's why we're closing down elementary schools.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason for that. There's less of a population, that age bracket. There's not as many people out there. So when you try to spread that over all the occupations that are out there, there's not enough people out there is the main problem, the way I see it. And it's
okay.
Hard to convince kids still to go into the shop. They have no idea what it's like. I mean, it's totally different. I mean, I was in a shop the other day and the owner's saying, oh, it's Thursday, the masseuse will be in today, so you can get your back work done for 15 minutes, and the company pays for it. The floors were clean. The cafeteria looked like a restaurant. I mean, it was just completely different than our mindset when we grew up into a shop and it was dirty and oily and, you know.
That happens. I know that a few months ago I was with you guys when you brought the technical school people from Livonia, the students, over to show them what you had. They were taking technical trades at the high school level, yet they didn't seem to know the opportunities available. And their parents were telling them they needed to go to college. And that's what I heard from them.
I think in the past, that was very strong, that everybody had to go to a four-year university. That trend, I think, has really taken a back seat, but it's still getting the word out there that, hey, these jobs are good paying jobs. They got benefits, that it's a good skill trades, you know,
right.
With your hands. Some kids learn better that way. I don't have the answers anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you're working hard at it. I mean,
10 years, I've really worked hard with going into schools and trying to open up their eyes of the manufacturing occupation.
There's less students coming through. I thought about that too. I live in Livonia. So the population here is 25% retired, I think now. But, you know, you draw from Northville what kind of students are coming to Schoolcraft? Are you drawn from
all kinds? Number one, we get high school students right out of high school. So people want to upgrade their skills. They've been in the trade a little bit. They're a machine operator. Now they want to go into programming. So they come to the college and get educated that way instead of trying to do it on the job. And it just speeds them along on their way. So that helps, you know.
Right. Well, in fact, I saw an article you wrote about one of your students.
I think you're referring to one of my students called Matt Sweeney. He had a welding degree, associate's degree. He was going through the fire department schooling, but at the time it was 08. Cities weren't hiring. They were laying off. So he came to me. He was kind of like a gunsmith. So he wanted to kind of upgrade his skills on that. We put on boot camps sometimes. We take unemployed people. We give them 120 hours. I teach them blueprint reading, math, and how to be a CNC operator. 90% of those people going through that program, we got jobs.
Okay.
Matt was one of those. And he just accelerated in the industry. Now he's running a five-axis machine. He was on a cover of a national magazine. So it was good to see his life cycle. And now he's, you know, he's married, got a family, got a house here in Livonia. That's what I try to promote when I go out there, that we all have to work together between the education, the business, and the community. You know, it's a three-part stool, basically.
Right.
I look at things, you know.
Let's talk about you. I mean, you know, you started here 20 years ago, but you came from industry as
well. First of all, I never went to college.
Okay.
I didn't come from a rich family. There was no talk about going to college because we just didn't have money for it. I didn't know about scholarships at the time. I was young. Before I was even in high school, I was doing construction for a while, helping an old guy build his house. And then I got connected with my scoutmaster, who had a small shop in his garage. And I was dating his daughter, so I was at his house a lot. And he finally said, hey, do you want to help me out in the shop? I said, sure. I don't mind, you know.
Yeah.
I'm easy. He handed me a print and said, how much do you want to get paid to make that part? And I said, I don't even know how to turn the machine on. And he goes, I'll show you that. That's the easy part. And that's how I worked 2 years for him while I was going to high school. So all my spare time was up there in the shop. And for 2 years, I had to quote jobs. And that's how I made the money. And if I made a mistake, I'd have to buy material then and catch the parts up on my own time, basically. So I learned, hey, don't make mistakes.
There you go.
But you learn from them. And I've been a big advocate about that. I don't mind that you make mistakes as long as you learn from them. That's, mm-hmm. that's one of my classroom rules. So I worked for him for 2 years, and then I left and went to a regular shop. I was there probably 8 months. I got more raises in 8 months than other people did in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was, I knew setups and I knew how to make the machines work. You know, I was all about get the parts out, make the owner money, right? And so I did that for a while. It was what I would consider a bad shop at the time because, I mean, we had, it was an old factory. The guy would turn the heat off at night and turn it up to 68 when we came in. We had lights over the machines. We didn't use them for lights. We used them to warm our hands in the morning. That's how bad it was. Well, I only stayed there like 8 months. He'd come around the last Saturday of the month and give you a dime raise. And I'd always say, hey, I'm going to take Sunday off and think about whether I want to work here. He goes, I put you down for a quarter. Okay, I'll stay another month, you know. But if you were late, you didn't get your raise. You know, if you didn't show up that day, you didn't get your raise. So, I mean, you start learning that the management type of working in this trade. Well, I left there and I went to another shop. This was a 25-man shop, two shifts. We did a lot of Ford work, prototype. Within 6 months of working there, I became the shop foreman. I was hiring guys twice my age. I mean, it was crazy. My boss would take off back then. We didn't have fax machines, cell phones. When he left to go for 2 weeks fishing up into Canada, I was left running his business. I handled anything out in the shop. I didn't have to worry about the accounting or payroll or anything like that, but everything else was under my control. And it was a good experience. I really learned a lot that I had opportunity. I went down to Ford Motor Company and quoted jobs. I'm 20 years old. We did the first test chamber for the airbags for Ford Motor Company.
Really?
They had no idea how big to make that explosion, you know, so it had to be contained. We'd do that, and the next day you'd be working on vertebrates for the dummies.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real nice variety of work, and it helped. I left there, and I moved around for a little bit, a couple other shops, and I finally, in 1979, I decided to open up my own business. I figured if I can do it for other people,
yes,
do it for myself.
Let's do it.
And that was different. I mean, I've always had a strong work ethic, and I had the business almost 40 years. All my kids worked with me over the years. Again, I did a lot of prototype. I worked with one guy that had a lot of vision systems, checking parts, checking the balls at the end of a ballpoint pen. I mean, simple jobs, but I would design and build the whole machine, and then he'd hook all the cameras and the lights and hook it up to the computer to check parts. So again, it was interesting work. I enjoyed it, but somewhere along the line, the school asked me like 3 times to come teach, and I turned them down twice. And finally, my current wife said, hey, why don't you go there? And I said, I don't have a college education, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you got experience. You have passion for your industry. Go try it. It's 15 weeks. Try it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I went in there and got hired, and I just fell in love with it. I mean, teaching, to be able to learn a trade and then to pass it on to other students, to me, is very rewarding.
Yes.
So, you know?
Right.
That's kind of how, and then I worked part-time while I tried to build up the manufacturing department. And like I said, 10 years ago, I got with the Industrial Council that Dan West put together. Mm-hmm. I think I missed the first meeting. I checked him out. I heard about it. I chased Dan down one day and had a talk with him. We hit it off right away, and I've been going to everyone since. And I remember the first one I walked in, that's when I met Chuck Dardis at Alpha. And he goes, I've been looking for a guy like you. And I said, I've been looking for a guy like you, you know. And we just hit it off. And the school does a good job trying to work with businesses, but I know their language. I know what they feel. I know what they're looking for because I've been there, you know, and it was good. I mean, it's been a good relationship. And
that's what I see too. I mean, there's no place better. I go around the country and the questions and the answers are all the same as far as we need skilled labor. And what Livonia has put together as the skills council is great. Sometimes I say, let's demand it. We need to be all counselors and go to, you know, get our youth interested in that.
The problem with counselors, they have too many kids they're responsible for. It's
right.
Just a numbers game. They can't spend the 20 minutes you need to spend with each kid. So way back when we decided, well, at one time we met with Livonia Schools, the businesses wanted to have co-op kids like in the past.
Right.
And like I said, that one shop I worked at 8 months, we'd have 10 co-op kids come in at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
Sure.
We'd have to have all the machines set up ready for them, you know, but so they wanted to go back to that. They were even willing to pay the students. And the school individual at the time said, all our kids are going to four-year university. We got out in the parking lot and the business owner's going, Gene, you know that's not true. And I said, I know. I said, let's try to work with the teachers. So that's when we met Ann Owens, that was at one of the middle schools in Livonia Schools, Emerson Element or Middle Schools.
Right.
She was great at working with, because she knew the school schedule. She knew what classes were available, what kids were available. Between Ann Owens, Dan West, Chuck Dardis at Alpha, and myself, we kind of worked at a team, and we started doing middle school projects. So, and we started manufacturing day here in Livonia.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have the kids go to two factories. Then we'd come back to the college. We'd split them, half would tour our occupational programs, the other half would eat, and then we'd switch. So they at least see what's going on in an industry and also see the side of the education, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
Just trying to open their mind to, hey, this is an occupation. Some of the other things that we worked on was a program called Young Inventors. So we would go to the school, we take, one guy was a race car driver. As a young kid, he'd go to the junkyard, get materials, and he'd build him, fab himself up a go-kart, you know, when he was a young kid. Now he's racing cars, he needs a bracket, he's got to invent it. So we'd talk to the kids about inventing something. After that, the school teacher would work with the kids in the classroom on inventing something. They'd use Google. Is it available? Can you improve on it? That kind of stuff. So they work on it for a couple of weeks. Each school would vote either the top three or the top five, depending on how many school systems we had. When we stopped doing it, I think we had over 7 school districts that we were in.
Mm-hmm.
And we touched over 1,000 people's lives with this program.
Wow.
So they would invent something. We would take the top vote first and second at each school, and then an overall first, second, and third. And they would come to the college on a night. Their parents, grandparents would come. All the school people would come, the superintendents, the teachers, the politicians, the mayors would all show up. Each one of the students got up in front of the group and said, here's my invention. I always walked the kids when they were done around the room so they didn't cut across the next person. And I always ask them, were you nervous? And you'd get that look like, yeah, I was nervous. Of course I was nervous,
right.
You know? But to get up at that age and talk to people, I mean, these kids were so impressive. I mean, there's the business people going, we want to hire that guy. We need him in our marketing department. You
right.
know? So it was a very good program, and it opened up a lot of eyes. And it helped us here at the school even show that there can be a connection with all three groups working together. That's just some of the things that I work with the community. I also, in the summertime, I put on a program called Kids on Campus. The school has the program, and we do nursing. It's a week program during the summer. So we bring young people in and they can experience nursing and the cooking school and all the different things that go on in our campus. Well, I started working with them in manufacturing. So I would take the pegboard game from the restaurant and I made it a little bigger. The first day I'd let them engrave their name in a piece of metal. So, I mean, they have no idea how to run a CNC. These are seventh, eighth, and ninth graders. No idea how to run CNC. And here I am teaching them. And I said, you all learn some programming. You know, you drew pictures with X plus, X minus, Y minus. You plotted points and you drew a picture. You connected the dots. I said, those become holes or intersections from the radius to a straight line. So I just take what they already know and just expand on it. That program, oh, the other thing I would do is take a picture of theirs, run it through MasterCam Art and make it 3D and put it on a 3x4 piece of metal. So, I mean, it just shows them the capabilities of what manufacturing is. I did that program for 10 years. I ran over 600 kids through that program. So to me, that's a plus. And then down the road, they show up in my class and they say, hey, I had you in Kids in Campus. And I'm like, I've been waiting for you.
That's great.
A good thing, you know?
Yes. Well, that's a rewarding thing. I suspect that Matthew Sweeney comes back and talks to you a lot too, as well. You did.
I've been over this at his business where he's working now. A lot of what I do is with my students. I help my students out every way I can. I mean, I always have, trying to get them jobs and that kind of stuff. But some of the other things that I do on the outside, I do FIRST Robotics. So I take time and judge FIRST Robotics. That's rewarding because you see the kids with a mechanical ability where they got to work together, work with their hands. It's a great program.
Okay, so is that FIRST Robotics through the high school or yes. Is it through?
Yes.
Okay. Because
well, I judged some of the middle schools.
And middle school, but they don't have a robotics team at Schoolcraft, right?
No.
Okay.
I would get a hold of some of the local teams.
Right.
Their kickoff is in January. So usually in December, I would get two or three teams together and I'd give them a safety, how to run the lathe, how to run the mill, and get them to think about safety because that's a big issue with FIRST Robotics, you know.
Well, the regional was at Churchill this year, right? So I don't know, is it every year at Churchill, the Michigan regional?
Usually the district one is.
Okay.
Oh, the regional, I kind of stopped. I'm getting close to retirement, so I'm trying to slow down, and that was one thing that I cut out.
Right, that's the thing. You're only working like 17 hours a day, so, you know.
The other thing I did was Skills USA.
Okay.
I was the state chairman for the CNC competition, so I designed what the competition was, graded and all that. I also judged the precision machining at the same time. And again, it's usually a 2-day deal in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, I've been there. I judged some things as far as also at one time. So have you backed off of that a little bit?
Yeah, I work with a high school teacher up in Escanaba. What I try to do is slow down a little bit and still be available this last year that I'm working. In case they got any questions, problems, that I can help them, guide them. It was my thought process.
40 years in business and 20 teaching. I mean, where was your business?
I did both for a while, for like, I think about 7-8 years that I did both. And it was a lot of, you know, I'm getting out of class sometimes at 11 o'clock at night, and I'm at 6 o'clock, I'm in the shop working, you know.
We need more people to get into teaching, and tell me a little bit about how that worked. I've got some people in my neighborhood, I said, look, you should be teaching now. You know, you've got these skills. You know, how was that transition? Were you scared at first when you were doing it? I mean, that was...
I was. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I was nervous as hell. I was a different environment than just being in a shop, you know?
Right.
But I always had the passion of my industry and always had passion for people. So it was an easy transition. The nervousness, I'm telling you, by the second class that I taught, it started going away. It's like these kids were like sponges trying to suck up what I'm trying to teach them. And it was great. It was a good feeling, you know. Back then, hiring, they didn't have a problem with me not having education at the time, but I did have the SME I'm a certified manufacturing engineer,
okay.
Society of Manufacturing Engineers. So they kind of looked at that as, hey, you can't even take the test unless you've been in the trade 8 years. So that kind of helped a little bit. I mean, I had a part-time teacher. He said, I do mow lawns at Kensington. And he said, I went more climbing mountains to get that job than being a part-time teacher.
Right.
I mean, today, it's kind of different. They do want the educational background, plus with the experience, because we are a hands-on education type occupation.
I try to encourage people that have been in business that, hey, they will listen to you. You do have the knowledge. It takes a while to figure out how you want to present what you're presenting. I'm sure you went through some of that for a while. But I taught some business courses at actually Schoolcraft about 30 years ago and at Washtenaw Community College. So, and man, for me to do that kind of teaching in marketing or business, you know, 3-hour classes, I was terrified. Anyway,
I have 6-hour classes.
Right.
They're 6 hours, a lot of lecture and then a lot going to the lab.
Do you bang into anything at other local colleges like Henry Ford or Washtenaw, for instance? Or Oakland.
Smile. And I see it more with the business owners or plant managers. They grew up. I think Henry Ford in the past was a great, great institution for their manufacturing trade. I think it was fabulous. Henry Ford was very smart. I mean, I still have people bringing stuff in from those days. It was impressive. But it's they kind of went more towards the educational side and got away from the occupational program. And I believe it's more in their management style. We here at Schoolcraft, we kind of change some of the things that we do. So we won't cancel a class. If it's on the schedule and one student signs up, we're running that class. Well, in the past, if that class got canceled, then that one student's trying to scramble to get the class that they need, and they might be in an apprenticeship program where they have to take a class and they can't wait. And so that's why we started drawing people from Henry Ford as our primary closest competitor, really.
As I go to some of those schools myself, I say, look, to the freshman class, they don't know what they're doing when they go there. I said, at least, like at Eastern, go take all your classes in Silhall. They do have a manufacturing construction area. So,
no, I had a student. She was my student for a number of years until she got her associate's degree. When I first met her, she had no confidence whatsoever. She even helped me out in my office for a while. I put on the first occupational open house here at Schoolcraft, and I had her call schools, email schools, trying to drum up people to come to it. I had 6 businesses come in the lab, and I did the first open house that way on a Saturday, and we got 100 students out of it. It worked out pretty good. Now it's a normal thing that we try doing, at least up until COVID time, and it kind of slowed down since then. Now we do things a little bit different, but she ended up going to Eastern. She was one of the first, one of 9 students that got her ME, a mechanical engineer. Eastern started a program with that. So she went there, got her degree there. I had her come in for manufacturing day. I asked her to come in for manufacturing day, said, I'm old, I'm retiring. I need somebody younger. That way a young person's telling these high school students that, hey, here I am in my early 20s. She's responsible for the tooling for the last 80 stations of the car assembly lines, tires, doors, dashboards, all that kind of. She's responsible for the tooling of that.
Really?
And she's making well over $100,000. I mean, her salary doubled in 1 year alone. It impressed the young people that you can do that, you know?
Right. Right.
So the other thing that we try to do here at Schoolcraft, we have a skill certificate, which is like 8 classes, a 1-year certificate, which is like 10 or 12 classes, and then our associate's degree.
Really?
That skill level one, we have them take base classes. Like after leaning towards manufacturing, and of course, we're going to have the base manufacturing class. but they also have to take the CAD basic, metallurgy basic class. So they get a well-rounded area. And I've had students go, you know what? I like that metallurgy. It reminded me of chemistry in high school. I really love that. He can change that degree to go to metallurgy now, and he hasn't wasted any time on the classes that he's taken. All our stuff is stackable, so any class you take is going to go towards a certificate, or it's going to go towards an associate's degree. So that way we're not wasting your money or your time, you know, which is, you and I know, time's valuable. We don't have
it. That's what I'm trying to get into the high school. I mean, I guess you can take those while you're in high school, but I think that should be part of the high school curriculum.
I believe so, too. I've worked with students dual enroll. In fact, one of my part-time teachers I met in high school, when he was still in high school, he was a dual enrollment, and I had to walk him through the process and tell his parents, this is what you need to go to the school. The schools, the K-12 schools get punished for that. So
right.
The money comes out of their budget instead of out of the state budget. They don't get credit for that, which I feel is very wrong. Education's education. The state should pay for it, and it shouldn't punish the high schools. Part of my philosophy is it's not so much what you do in your classroom. It's what you do outside your classroom that sets you aside. I think our program here in manufacturing is the best in the state. I try to take all the ideas. I've gone to Haas Days. With Haas is a CNC machine builder. What? They have an educational side. I put a one-day seminar on for them in the area. I had people come out of Canada, and I share what I've done in the past. They have a week convention. I went to one in Texas, and I spoke down there. And again, I shared all the different things that I was doing outside the classroom, just trying to help other teachers promote their programs. You know, we're all in the lake together. We all have to eat, you know. And
right. Well, at this last program, you had Magna and General Motors both. Are you working with them as well? Are they coming to you?
Always. We have more jobs than we have students coming here.
Okay.
It's crazy. I don't know what's going on with the student. We had one student, he was in the landscaping, first time to college, took my basic class. We got him a job, $18 an hour to start. The company put him on as an apprentice. So they were going through the paperwork to do that. By the end of the 15 weeks, he quit. He became a truck driver. I mean, it was crazy. I don't understand. We had, like I said in the past, we do these boot camps.
Right.
I probably put 10, 12 of them on. I've run hundreds of people through that program and got, like I said, 90% of them jobs that are working. They're department heads now and stuff, you know, and these were unemployed people when they came to me. We tried to put one on this spring. We couldn't get anybody.
Wow.
Nobody. Nobody. We tried to put on a mechatronics boot camp. Again, we couldn't get anybody to show up. And there was money there to pay the tuition. It's not like they had to come up with money to learn. It was there. We right. had grants covering stuff like that.
But I went to, it's called the International Manufacturing Technology Show in Chicago. They had a Smart Force Student Summit. Last week I was at the Assembly Show. And they have a workshop to try to build a workforce. And so we're talking about education as well. Everywhere, every industry is asking for people to come and work. Somehow, I get up and I do it at when you see me at your events as well. I say, what jobs are available? What do we, you know?
You always ask that question, Tom.
Let's get demand an education, okay? So I think we don't go forceful enough sometimes as far as that's concerned. I don't know if I think I irritate some of the administrators there when I do that, but I want to try to make those things happen.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. It's just boundaries. The school's got their area, the K-12, college has theirs, and it's very hard to mix them just because of the way that some of the laws are set up. It all gets down to the dollars.
Right.
That, and they're afraid to cross over. I mean, I don't think Livonia should have, I got to be careful how I say this, because
right.
I think their technical center is needed, but we would do a much better job at it because we have the equipment. They can't, I mean, right now they have no CNC equipment. So, I mean, all they can do is lecture and talk about it. I'd rather have them come over here in the morning when my lab's usually empty, because most of my classes are afternoon and evenings, that they use the lab one day a week. Even bring their teachers. I don't care. Let's work it out and teach the kids hands-on skills and do some of my first basic class over a whole school year to get the kids. Now they got a college credit. They're using machines that are out in industry, you know? And
right.
To me, that would be ideal. But the school systems are like, oh, no, we can't close our center. We got a lot invested in that. And I understand, but it's like, let's do the good for the people, you know?
Right. Well, that's why I say the Livonia Council has everybody there. And to think about it, this is middle America. We've got everything we need here. It doesn't get any better than this. We got to figure it out. I mean, obviously, the question comes up, well, that can't happen. The school's got to do this. I remember going to the meeting, and there was somebody from Wayne County that just got this, you know, workforce development grant. And what are they going to do with it? Well, you know, if the schools are going to cost them money, here, give them the money here to come and learn something.
Right. I was impressed with that guy.
Right. I
mean, there was money. If you needed a car or gas, he had money for it. I mean,
right.
He had everything to help any personnel to do things. And I'll tell you, even at our college, we have things like that, and it goes unnoticed sometimes. I mean, during COVID, I pushed my students, look, if you need food, we have a pantry.
Mm-hmm.
It's free. Go there and get food. If you need, you know, help on the rent or something, we have a program for that they'll help you out. I mean, I had a student just this last week tell me, hey, you told me about that program. I went to it. They helped me out.
Right. So,
I mean, it's not a lot, but hey, it gets you over the edge. I even went to the president once with an idea. I said, I know young people are still getting in trouble. I mean, we were all young once. We've all done dumb things, and things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So what I told them is, instead of going and getting probation, picking up papers on the side of the highway, why doesn't the judge require them to take my basic class?
There you go.
What's better than to get some education that gives them hands-on experience, different from what they had in high school, you know, and they may change their life over that, you know? The school ran with it. They actually will pay for somebody's associate's degree for 10 people that were in trouble, that they'll pay for all their education.
Really?
I mean, but who knows about it? I've tried to call the judges. I've tried to, you know, connect with police, the schools. I said, I know you got a trouble kid at the school. Let me have him. Let me
do
this program. And I to this day, I haven't found anybody yet.
Well, it's, you know, on the other end of it, I know that heck, it's their labor. They need the labor. I see them, you know, they rake leaves. But when I went to Eastern Michigan, I got a job at Ford Wayne Assembly, and I was working on the line, and that was summer. They had weekend things. They were running 2 10-hour shifts, 24, you know, 7 days a week or 6 days a week. I mean, there was big demand, but I didn't really put together the fact that, hey, I can go to college and still work and do this and that's learn that skill, right?
Right.
So it comes down to who are the companies, the big companies, General Motors. I think that we need to teach more in the schools about what becomes what's in society. Our companies are General Motors and Ford and the tier one suppliers. And
here in Livonia, we have more tier one suppliers than the big company. I know we have Ford Transmission.
Right.
I get very few people out of there. I think they send them all to Henry Ford.
Ah.
I do have one worker right now. I don't think she's out of that plant, but she's a Ford worker. Because our classes were available when she was available. So we work more with the tier one suppliers than
right.
Smaller shops. We go down to guys that have four guys in the shop. I had a past student in here yesterday. He's plant manager now of a shop. They got four guys, big shop, and he said, I need somebody.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I wish I could just out of that, you know, but.
Well, that's the thing. And it's changed a lot now. Ford and General Motors really don't make any parts. They assemble them, but all the tier one suppliers are the ones that are making the modules that go in. So it's not a line type of job, you know.
There's probably more people at tier one than work for the big three.
Right.
You know, that whole industry's changed over the years. You know, they job out whole sub assemblies and
right.
Just to make it easier on them.
Right. And they're still in big business. That's kind of the problem. Cause I'm from the same era as you, you know, you're not going to work on, my mama said, I'm not going to work on the assembly line. Right. So,
I think the big change, and I try to think back about when did all these changes come with the students? I think one of the big, and I don't want to get political here, but I think when President Obama was in office, he changed the hospitalization that you could be on your parents' insurance until you were 26. Well, in the past, it was 18. So the parents were, hey, you got to go out and get a job. You know, and the kids that didn't want to get educated would go in the shop area and eventually grow up and do well in it. But then you had that lag time that now it's not 18, it's happening at 26.
Yeah.
You got 8 years of the kids not doing anything and not being productive. And I think there's just a mindset that sets in there that now they're 26 and
right.
I want to work from home.
Well, that's the thing. There's a lot. I'm not sure what's going on with manufacturing now with people working remotely. I mean, we had offices on up here in Livonia, and we're all remote now. And I'm working with some companies as well to try to get people in to do some of the manufacturing jobs. But I'm happy to see the kids. I mean, I see more in the neighborhood in Livonia now, and I see, I stop by the football games or some of the things they got going around here.
That's what I tell businesses. Do you advertise? Do you support the local football team? You should be out on that field with your signs, you know,
right.
Supporting that, telling the people that you're part of the community and you want to hire those guys, you know?
Right.
I've always said that. The one thing that we're doing here at Schoolcraft in our manufacturing engineering center here, we will have high schools come in and we'll get like 60 kids. We'll break them up. So I will get 10, 12 kids, welding will, material science, CAD, and we rotate them around. So like in my area, I got 20 minutes. I'll machine their names and pieces of metal that they got to come up and program. And it gives them a more hands-on realistic than me going out to the high schools and saying, hey, these are the neat things we can do. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. It gives them more of a hands-on approach. They see the building. We want them to be comfortable here. You know, that's
right.
What it's all about. So.
Well, good. Yeah. I think it looks great. I've talked to other teachers there.
I've been there. I know.
I've been there. So
And I try to help the other teachers. Some of them, the last one we had during manufacturing, I met a teacher. She went from science to now she's going to be teaching manufacturing. She has never programmed in her life a CNC machine and has no idea. I said, well, let's get together when you got some free time and I'll sit down and help you develop your program so you can educate the kids. I mean,
right.
So she was thrilled that I'd do that. But that's just the little things that I try to do in the community to help out. It's all working together and all about just trying to make our community better than it is, you know?
Yeah, well, that's great. We go around the country, as I said, and we're facing those same things. But to have all these big companies, these very successful companies, and have the opportunities to do that, I don't know why our students don't know that. I mean, it's tough. It's a jungle out there. I mean, you've got to make a living. You've got to produce dollars for yourself and family. And
I'm real impressed with industry as far as the dollar amount that they're paying today for young people coming in the trade. They've really up the amount. And it's impressive. I mean, I remember, I think the first real shop I started, I got more than minimum wage because I knew something, but I know it was below $2.
Right.
And now they're starting at $18, $19, $20 an hour. And I'm like, you guys don't know how lucky you are and how many different opportunities there are for you.
I mean, just like you, I mean, that's the thing that I try to say as well. Look, you know, you learn how to do this. You can start your own business because people need that. It's tough, but.
I have three or four students that own their own business. Like okay. I said, that one student that was dual enrolled, he's a part-time teacher here. He owns his own business. The student that was in yesterday running a company, he also has machines at his house, so he owns his own small shop.
Right.
I mean, it's nice when I go into some of these local businesses to meet some of the past students. So that's
pretty good. Yeah, that just reminded me, Johnny Dixon, have you heard that name? Did he come through? I know somebody told me he has a CNC shop in Livonia, but maybe not. That's maybe years ago. All right. Anyway,
like I said, I'm running 300 students, 100 students per semester, and it's
right. Okay.
The more forgetful I get.
I shouldn't be talking about these things that we've got other things to talk about. So, all right, let's. What if we missed anything we want to talk about? You've got a great program there. We just have to get more students involved on a national basis. What I've tried to do is work with the Department of Education, Career and Technical, especially, and say, we've got to get more information to the parents and the students to let them know what companies are in Michigan and what the opportunities are and what it leads to in future in life. So.
Like I said, in the past, we all had shop classes when we were young and we learned machines and they kind of did away with them for a couple reasons. It's expensive to maintain. It's expensive to set up. The instructor's hard to get sometimes because you need that education plus the work experience. And when computers came along, they could throw up a CAD software and say, hey, we're answering our industrial needs, you know? And there was millions of CAD people then, you know?
Right.
It flooded the market almost. And and then now the pendulum's kind of swung and we got away from all the labs that the high schools have. Now the pendulum's coming back. They all want to put it in, but it's a huge investment. It's not only
right.
the real estate for the machines, but it's the power coming in. And you know, by the time the school figures all this out, the cost is astronomical. And I know in our local area, some of the local school districts are trying to do better. They're trying to add CNCs. SME Prime's been in a couple of the school systems helping out. And local businesses have stepped up and donated a lot of money towards that cause, but it's just so hard to get back to where we were.
Right. Well, you have some older machines in your shop there, area of mill machines. When I was at this assembly show last week, one of the things that came up was a demand for just basic milling, not even, you know, CNC milling, that somebody that can do both is what they have in most demand. So, you know.
I understand it. That's why my base class, I still use the manual mills and the manual lathes.
Okay.
And they have to make five different details so they get the hands-on experience and so they can do jobs like that. And I think it helps them realize before they get into the CNC arena that they have some basic skills, you know.
Right. Well, I'm going to be talking to some of those local companies as well, because we want to tie it to things. We're looking at putting some information on technical graduates, for instance, where they can go and what they can do. Engineering is big. I mean, from the university level, every engineer gets a job. So we say, look, if you're going to school, go for engineering. And more programs are opening. But
I agree.
We want to bring it down to some more. So I'm going to go talk to the president of Alpha there. And he did a nice presentation there last week. And maybe General Motors as well. You know, the fact that they're taking certificates for jobs, I mean, and they want to do more of that was good.
Right. That's the one thing I've noticed over the years is the job requirements have greatly reduced. And we kept telling them that. Why do you need an associate's degree in manufacturing to hire somebody new? You know?
Right.
Let them start getting educated and take classes at the same time and elevate himself, you know, and you don't need all these, hey, you got to own tools. I still have
right.
That saying that. And it's like, no, most companies aren't requiring that. I mean,
right.
When I started in the trade, that, man, every extra dollar I had, I bought another mic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that today. Most of the time, the company's got to keep the certificates up and inspections and that. So they need, the company supplies the tools, you know, but there's still a few companies out there that want the students to have their own tools, you know, and it's like, you want them to buy something that they don't even know if that trade's the right for them, you know? It's,
right.
Even the education has dropped. Yes, they'll take a certificate now instead right. of associate's degree.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's helping a little bit, but it's all small.
Right. I'm going to keep hammering those people and see if we can get a connection or get some of that. Cause sometimes I think based on what you know, we've talked about before, administrators do what administrators have to do. But there is such a demand. We've got an opportunity to get lots of people jobs. I mean, so we should keep working on that. All right. We've been talking for quite a while. So I don't know did we miss anything? Is there any other words of wisdom?
Pretty much covered.
All right. Do you need anything? Do you need anything that we can help you with?
Tom, I'm close to being retired. I'm at the end of this year, 2022.
Okay.
And it's a different world. You work your whole life up to something and then you jump off the cliff and say, I'm retired. I'm going to take it easy. You know, I'm going to just float on down to the valley and relax a little bit.
So,
but in the same time, I'm probably more busy now because I'm still teaching. But I'm trying to separate what do I leave for the new guy? Where do I set him up that he can come in and run and know the people? And so there's a lot of planning on that. We still haven't hired anybody. We're getting close to starting interviews here. but it's just a lot of extra work that I'm going through right now, and still plan for. I got a staff. I'm department head for four departments, and I got to staff those for spring, summer, and next fall.
Okay.
To be here.
Right.
So, there's still a lot of responsibilities that I'm still doing, and I'm, like I said, I got two more months. You know.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll.
It's been a joy.
We'll be in touch. I'll be over and see. I stop by every once in a while just to make sure you're working, and. If you got it, give us some words of wisdom before we cut off. If you got something for the technical educators around the country.
Just do what your passion is, number one. And if you don't know what it is, try it. Take a class, see what it is all about. And you may fall in love with an occupation that you never knew about. You know, it's a great occupation. It can lead to so many different things, you know?
Right.
I can't, my life's been really good over this. It really has.
That's great.
That's why I try to share with students that they can have the same opportunities I have. In fact, I believe there's more opportunities today than when I was young, you know?
Yeah. Well, good. That's great. All right. Well, thanks for the time. Thanks for the information. We'll catch you next time.
All right, thanks a lot, Tom.